You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Aaron Styler, whose 10-year-old son Jacob was diagnosed with cancer, given chemotherapy, and declared cancer-free. But Jacob's doctors say his problems are not all behind him and that further chemo and radiation is needed, and the state of Michigan agreed with his doctors and have pressed charges against Jacob's parents to force Jacob to have more chemotherapy and radiation. Aaron, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
When did you first find out that Jacob, and of course, as we spoke earlier, Jacob was 9 when this happened. Just explain to the listeners how this all came about.
Back in March, Jacob was diagnosed with Ewing sarcoma. He started treatment pretty soon thereafter. He had surgery, and they removed the tumor from his spine, and they got most of it out. There was just a tiny bit left that they couldn't get, so they decided to go through with chemotherapy. He went through 12 weeks of chemotherapy, and at that time, they considered that as induction therapy, and they do a PET scan thereafter to see where the tumor is at and if it's spread or if it has gotten bigger or if it stayed the same. At that time, they checked the PET scan, and it was clear. My husband and I decided, after looking into it, and I had done extensive research over the 3 months of the effects and the side effects of chemo radiation, both of them, and we decided that we didn't want to go any further with treatment. He was cancer-free. That was the beginning of July that we had done the PET scan. A couple weeks after that, after I told the hospital, the social worker had called and asked if we had made any decisions on radiation, since I hadn't given him the answer at that point when he was done with the chemo. I told her we were refusing radiation, and she said she was then forced to file a petition with the state of Michigan, with Child Protective Services. The following morning, they were knocking on our door.
Hmm. You said it's Ewing sarcoma.
Yes.
And Wikipedia here says that this is a very rare type of cancer.
Yes.
It's a tumor, and I guess it's found around the bones.
Yes.
Or in the soft tissue. And there's two types. Is this localized or is this metastatic?
No, it's just localized. He had just one spot on the spine that he had. It wasn't the family of tumors. It was just a single Ewing sarcoma.
Thank goodness.
Yes, definitely.
It says here in Wikipedia, 5-year survival for localized disease is 70-80% when treated with chemotherapy. Long-term survival for metastatic disease can be less than 10%, but some sources state it is 25-30%. Do they know how someone can get this type of cancer?
I've been told no, but they don't know. That it's basically, I think, two chromosomes that get too close to each other that shouldn't, is what I've been told. I know that the Mayo Clinic had been looking into that it's a possible sporting injury can cause this to the onset, but that's nothing that I've been told as an exact thing. This is something that they've looked into.
The doctors that I was referring to earlier, these are the doctors that administered the chemotherapy to Jacob? Okay.
Yeah.
And I guess there's more than one.
He had a main oncologist. But yes, there's obviously several that do the rounds and they rotate. But yes, he had one main oncologist.
Okay. The main oncologist is the one that is recommending he gets more chemotherapy and radiation now, right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. And he was aware, or she was aware, of the fact that you and your husband did not want to do it, right?
Yes. But she feels that Jacob will die without it.
Okay. And does she have any concrete evidence to back up her claim?
She's just telling us, because the clinical studies, which you just read, 70% chance of survival if you go through the whole therapies, meaning 9 months of chemotherapy and several weeks of radiation, which is about a month and a half of radiation.
Okay.
And so if we stop early, then he'll have a lower chance of survival if we stop early.
Mm-hmm. And you said he went through the previous chemotherapy for 12 weeks, is that right?
Yes. Yep. Okay. It was 12 weeks, 6 rounds. Each round is 2 weeks, so it was 12 weeks total.
Okay. And here in the article, you say that it was horrific, that he was sick, nauseous, and depressed, and he told you numerous times that he wished he could fall asleep and never wake up?
Correct.
Oh, God, that must have killed you.
Yeah, something that no parent should ever have to hear their child say to them. I mean, it was awful. And bad enough, I think, if you just had a child that was just depressed, maybe had issues mentally in their life that made them feel that way. But knowing that there's something, a chemical that they're giving their child to make them feel that way, that's being inflicted on him, kind of forced on him, that's not something you want to hear.
No, you, of course, never want to see him go through anything like that again.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not.
But you're confident that your research has shown you that you think the benefits of continued chemotherapy and now additional radiation really wouldn't help him.
Correct. I truly believe that.
Okay.
You know, and at this point, I guess I look at it as, okay, he is cancer-free. And I guess everybody knows or realizes that chemotherapy is poison. That's what kills it. If there's no evidence of any cancer cells, then what is it doing to his body? What would 6 more months of poisoning him do to his healthy body?
The doctor obviously knows that right now he's cancer-free.
Correct.
And there's no sign of any cancer, right?
Nope. He had another PET scan that is September, and that was also clear.
Why wouldn't the doctor just agree to have another PET scan down the road?
Good question. Actually, I think insurance companies only pay for PET scans every 3 months. I think that's standard. We did it a little early. We had to go to court, a preliminary hearing, so we did it a week and a half, just to show them that he was still healthy and hoping that they would drop the case. And it was brought up at that time that it really wasn't about his health. It was more of a parental rights issue, whether we have the choice to make the decision and question the doctor.
Okay, hold on a second here. I want to make sure I understand this. What you're telling me is that you brought them scientific evidence, and they said, no, we really don't care about the scientific evidence. Because you defied the doctor, we're going to make you listen to him.
Correct. Hmm. And not only the one PET scan, let's remember, it was then 2 PET scans.
What exactly is a PET scan?
That is when they inject radioactive glucose into your body, and they do the glucose because cancer loves sugar, and it feeds on sugar, and then they do a scan. I guess it would kind of like be a bone scan or CT scan. If there was cancer, it'll eat that glucose up, and then it will glow, so then they can see where the cancer is at in your body.
I heard a PET scan, but I just didn't know what it was, and obviously you've done your research. I'm a little disturbed and confused about this, and I was hoping that the way that I interpreted it wasn't right, but apparently the state has some kind of a ego problem here, because if I'm presented with scientific evidence that shows that there's no cancer, well, if I was, I would be, oh, great, congratulations, that's terrific, sorry to bother you. I hope he's completely cancer-free for the rest of his life, and he leads a great life, and thank you for coming in. I'm glad we could help.
That would make sense, wouldn't it? Even after the first PET scan, his doctor was clearly not thrilled. And I guess we expected kind of like throw your hands up in the air, jump for joy. We did it in only 3 months, but no. And I will say, too, that the Child Protective Services up here in the Upper Peninsula in Marquette County, the ones that investigated it, they investigated it for about 1.5 months, along with assistant prosecuting attorney, and neither one of them followed through with it because they didn't find any reason for medical neglect. And they were getting ready to close out the case. He said, oh, by Friday, it'll be closed out. And I don't know how the paperwork trail goes, but DHS is ahead of CTS, and they're based out of Lansing. And they said, no, wait a minute. Rumor has it, and of course it's just a rumor, but that they were feeling pressure from the hospital. And so that could possibly be why they decided to file.
It must go deeper than one doctor's desire to have parents obey her. What do you think it is? Do you think they want to make sure that this doesn't catch on, that parents don't get the idea that they have control over their children?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly crossed our minds. And like my husband said, what if one rat gets out? Is that what it's all about? It's a lot of money for Jacob to be there. He was there 3 weeks out of the month, so it was over $60,000 a month for him to be there. That's a lot of money lost. I don't know. I don't know what the reason behind it is. Obviously, there's more to it than we know, because if it was just as simple as them caring about his health, then I really don't think if they looked at weighing the issue as far as what the side effects would be, that it's really worth it for his health, if that's what they really cared about. We want to be proactive and keep doing PET scans, and we have 2 medical doctors up here that are keeping an eye on him and that we are in contact with and do blood work. And if something should pop up, we would get him into treatment right away. That's not what we're trying to do, is just hide out in the woods and not do anything for him. We want to do something for him.
Hmm.
We don't want to subject him to something that's going to cause more harm than good.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. I'm a little confused about the whole thing.
That makes 2 of us.
Yeah, well, 2 of us right now, but besides your husband and your extended family and the rest of the people that you do not know who have read or heard about this case, they're probably confused too. And when something like this arises, because I've seen this before, not specifically like this, it seems like the court will back down. But in the meantime, they'll show you how stupid and evil and ridiculous and petty they are. And they put people through stuff that they really shouldn't. I don't know where the common sense is.
I don't either. And especially wasting a lot of our tax dollars, first of all, going into this. And I know that there are a lot of kids out there that need their help. I've heard countless stories of different people telling me about abuse and neglect, real abuse and neglect.
Right.
And to me, it looks like, yeah, you're wasting your time. We've never had issues with this before, run-ins of any sort. I believe we're very good parents and very attentive to our children and very much involved in their lives. We're a very close-knit family. And I think that their help is needed elsewhere. You know, there's a lot of children that do need their help, maybe to intervene a little bit in their situations or in their lives.
You read these stories about these poor kids. Some of them they find alive and starving. Some of them they find when it's too late.
Yeah, exactly, when it's gone too far.
Right. You got an attorney.
Yes.
Did you go and get this attorney, or did this attorney hear about your case and come to you?
Actually, we were referred to him by a friend. We're Christians, and we have been calling around to different attorneys looking for the right one, and just none of them just seemed right for the job. And we were praying about it, and we finally got a hold of this attorney that a friend told me about, and it's kind of one of those things we knew at that moment when we talked to him. He had gone through a similar issue when he was younger, and so we knew he was the right guy for the job.
It was a perfect fit. Good. And what does your religion have to do with finding the right attorney?
You know, I just believe in trusting God through everything and through this whole process. And so, you know, I just pray about everything from day one. He's taking care of us, I believe, and leading us where we need to go. And everything's been working out so far. I mean, I know to some people it might not seem like it's working out, but it is. Even though as crazy as it sounds, I feel like He's putting people in our path that can help us out and are helping us out, and He's blessing us. And as crazy as it is, I'm not worried about it. We're not worried about it. It's tiring, it's stressful, but we're not sick about it and worried about it and losing sleep over it. Let's put it that way.
Well, that's good, and I'm sure that Jacob feels that sense of ease that you guys have.
He's excellent. He's doing great right now.
He's really a cute kid.
I think so, yes. Thank you.
You said you have other kids.
I have one other son, 7-year-old son, Caleb, yes.
How's he doing?
He's doing really good. We're all ready for our life to get back to normal as far as not having this hanging above our heads. It's hard to keep things away from them, but we try to not talk about it around them or keep them out of it because we don't want that to be stressing them or to be worrying about it or thinking about it constantly. So
right.
We try to discuss it in private as much as we can. I try to do all my phone calls or whatnot, my research when they're at school so they're not being bothered by it. So we can just try to keep things normal when they're home.
You said before you were a Christian. Do you think that that has something to do with this? Because you've read those stories and seen them online where folks who are Christian, they say, no, we don't want to get medical care for our kids. We believe that the Lord is going to heal them. And actually, something like that just happened, I think, just a couple of weeks ago when the parents were convicted and sentenced to prison. Is this something that came up at all?
I don't think so. You know, when they were talking about radiation, I kept saying I'd have to pray about it and feel at ease about it. I don't think God wants us to just not do anything. I don't believe that. I think He wants to pray for our kids and pray for their health and pray for their safety, but I don't think He wants us to not be proactive. And I feel like I am being proactive. I feel like I'm protecting them, yes, from some very, what I honestly think is barbaric ways of treatment, but we're doing other things. We're checking on him, for the doctors that are looking out for him. He has a totally different change of lifestyle now as far as his diet. We've removed sugar from his diet. He's limited fruit because of that, also with the sugars. He doesn't have the breads and the pastas anymore because your body changes that into sugars too. And mostly organic. We do the organic free-range grass-fed meat also.
Right.
So it's been a lifestyle change. He's on several vitamins and supplements also to protect his body and keep his immune system boosted up. It's not like we've gone back to our old ways. Definitely been a big change, but we're welcoming it. To me, it's kind of turned into his food is his medicine now.
Right.
And we've done it all as a family so that he's not left out.
You're doing a lot for him just to make sure that this never comes back, and I'm sure you'd do this for the rest of your life. You're a bad parent.
I am.
Yes. Did you ever mention your faith to the doctor?
I don't think so. It was mentioned to the social worker, I know. They're very much involved at that hospital, as far as even, I think, on a daily basis. I guess I felt like they were on our side, or I felt you could be open with her and be very honest. But looking back now, I honestly believe they were recording our conversations, because looking at all his medical records now, there were some very lengthy conversations that were written pretty much verbatim, and I don't think somebody could remember all that. I was very open and honest with her, as far as that goes. Sure, that was relayed to the doctor, but I don't ever remember having that kind of conversation with the doctor. And like I said, they're on their rounds, so we would maybe see his oncologist maybe once a month. It wasn't like we'd see her every day. It was different doctors through the whole rounds, but she's the one making the calls and whatnot. So
the social workers are in the hospital, you're saying?
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay. Could the social workers have somehow construed what you were saying to mean that you're a Christian and you're not going to pursue any conventional medical care beyond this point because you're a Christian?
No, and I don't think it has anything to do with me being a Christian. I don't think that this is a Christian decision or my faith or my religion decision. I think it's just me trusting God and what I feel like He's wanting us to do. I don't think that that maybe could necessarily mean that it's not the right decision for the next person if they're a Christian. I don't believe that.
Right. I'm just trying to make some sense.
I don't think there is any sense to it, but I guess she could have. It's not something that I constantly talk to them about on a daily basis. It was just conversations. Once in a while, I would bring that up.
Right. But they might have used that.
Quite possibly. And they knew from the very beginning that I'm one to go, I think, for more natural remedies in the first place. I'm not one to rush my kids to the doctor every time they have a cold or a sore throat. And even though I have very healthy kids otherwise, I don't believe in taking them to the doctors and putting them on an antibiotic every time they don't feel good. I think that was maybe part of it too. Maybe a little red light.
Right.
I think people are just too quick to trust their doctors. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't trust their doctors, but I think that they need to be proactive in doing their own research too and make an educated decision on what they should do. The doctors are taught a certain way, and by pharmaceutical companies, they're pushed, you know, they have that kind of stuff pushed on them, the drugs and whatnot. And that might be right for some, but I think everybody needs to make a decision for themselves and really look and not just say, well, the doctor says only side effects will be this or this. I think you really need to get online. I mean, the information is so out there now, whether it's your library or books or the internet. Everything's out there now as far as information or you need to know about any type of drug or disease or whatnot. And I think everybody needs to check into that and really do their full research, no matter what it is, whether it's a chemotherapy drug or if it is a vaccine or an antibiotic, and really, really look into it and decide what's best for their child.
Let me just put a timeline to this case. You said March he was diagnosed with cancer,
yes.
Right? Okay. And how exactly did they find out that he had cancer? Or why did they even attempt to see if he had cancer?
I don't know if I want to say.
Okay.
He was constipated is actually how it came to be. I don't know if that's embarrassing for a 10-year-old to have that out there or not, but...
No, I mean, all of us go through constipation.
But a 10-year-old, that's embarrassing.
Well,
her friends found out. But yeah, that's exactly what it was. They're kind of acting like I'm against doctors. I only do natural stuff. No, I brought him into the walk-in clinic on a Friday because he was complaining about his back, and I thought maybe it was a kidney infection, and I brought him in, and they said, no, he's constipated. Go home and try this and this and this. So we went home and tried different things, and... Still wasn't doing anything, so Sunday went back to the walk-in clinic again because we couldn't get in to see our family doctor. He was booked, and that's why we did. Sunday went back to the walk-in clinic, different doctor. Oh, no, just try some Miralax or whatever, and that didn't work. Finally Tuesday, I'm like, come on, you know, this is crazy. So I called our family doctor again, and he was still booked, but he said, you know what, just go to the emergency room. They'll take care of it in a heartbeat. It always works. For
okay.
Their enemas. We were there for maybe, I think it within a couple hours, his strength in his legs just started going away, which we noticed a couple days before. His legs felt kind of weak on Sunday, I think weak and kind of tingly a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, we just kind of thought that, well, yeah, you're so full.
Yeah.
That it's just pushing on a nerve or something like that, you know?
Right, sure.
And plus, he'd been laying around all weekend not feeling good. His stomach wasn't feeling good because of it.
And you would never think cancer.
No, not in a million years. Like I said, we lived a pretty healthy lifestyle. I guess looking back now, not as well as we should. But my kids, I kind of got teased by, you know, some people that I was pretty picky about how my kids ate. So I didn't think for a million years that, you know, my kids would get cancer. But
right.
His legs just stopped working. And until they found it, they did an MRI and found a tumor on his spine.
Again, thank goodness that
yes.
It unfolded the way it did, that his legs...
Yes. And he had been having back pain since December, off and on. I mean, just a little bit here and there. But he plays hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, getting crushed in the boards all the time, we just assumed.
Right. Again, yep, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
But, of course, would we react a little quicker this time? Oh, definitely.
Oh, of course. That was March.
Yes.
And he went through the 12 weeks of chemotherapy.
Yep.
And that ended when?
June 26th, I believe.
And then what happened after that? What was the next significant thing that happened after June 26th?
The PET scan.
And when was that?
July 6th.
Okay. When were the results available? The same day?
The next day.
And you were like, yeah, hey, woo, whoopee, of course. This
yeah.
is great. Okay.
Yeah.
And what was the next? Right, of course. And what was the next thing that happened after that?
When we were there, they said, did you decide on a place for radiation yet? And I said, no, I haven't gotten home yet. I discussed it with my husband. I mean, we were having pretty much a phone marriage. He was 8 hours away. He had to stay home and work. We were downstate at a children's hospital. And so I said, no, we need to go home and discuss it in person. You know, this is a big deal. And they said, well, we want to start chemotherapy right away then while you're waiting. And I said, no, you can wait a week for us to go home. It's not that necessary. So I think we went home Friday, and then it was either the next Wednesday or Thursday. The Wednesday, I think, that social worker called and said, did you make a decision yet? And I said, yep. And she said, are you going to do radiation? And I said, no. And she said, well, then I'm forced to file a petition with Child Protective Services. And I said, okay. And then the next morning, they were knocking on our door, waking us up.
What time did they knock on the door?
It was between 8 and 8:30. But, you know, with summer, we can sleep in.
Yeah, well.
Thankfully, they were very polite, and I don't have any complaints about Child Protective Services up here. Not at all. They even said, they were like, we've never seen anything like this before. And they just sat there and questioned me, like, so what is this all about? Can you tell me what's going on? Because they just got the allegation that it was from a confidential source, but the social worker told me that she had to make the phone call, so I'm guessing it was her. But it frustrated me right off the bat because, first of all, lied and said he had a 0% chance survival, which you just read.
Right.
So that's not true. I mean, it's a 30% chance. But they lied right off the bat and then neglected to add that he had a clear PET scan. And I think that's kind of important information if you're going to call Child Protective Services on somebody to put that in there.
Yeah, that would probably make sense. But you've already shown that they're not interested in science.
Correct.
They come there early in the morning. Did they give you something? They handed you something?
Basically, they were just kind of getting my side of the story, is what it turned out to be.
Oh, they came there to conduct an investigation.
Yes. Oh, yes. They started an investigation. Yep.
I see. So they didn't call you to set up a time to do the investigation.
No.
They just barged in.
Well, and I wouldn't even say barged in, but yeah, just showed up at our door. I mean, it wasn't like a forceful thing or anything like that.
No, 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 not at all. But you could have said, no, I can't see you, and they would have went away?
I don't know.
Right.
Probably not. Because I didn't know who it was. You know, it's like somebody's knocking at my door.
Right.
In all honesty, I thought it was Jehovah's Witnesses is what I thought. It's not like we have people knocking on our door constantly, especially early in the morning.
Okay, so they come in, and how long did you hang out with them for?
They were here probably a good hour.
They were taking notes and stuff.
Yeah, and of course I was crying, you know, upset, just because of the way it was going. Trying to give them all my information as far as the research I've done, and this is why I'm making this decision. And they were like, we're not here to say that you're doing anything wrong. We're just here to check the thing out and do our investigation.
Right. So this was the 8th of July.
We went home on the 8th.
Oh, this was about a week later.
About a week later, yeah.
Right, about the middle of July.
Yeah.
And what happened after that?
They just continued their investigation. Jacob and I brought him to a facility out of state to help repair his body, just to kind of build up his immune system and put on some healthy weight. And we kept in contact with him the whole time. And our caseworker would call to make sure that he was, I guess, alive or healthy or whatever.
Right.
And we came home the end of August, and he said that they were going to close out the case because they didn't feel any need to go any further with us. And I think it was like a week later. You know, he says probably by the end of the week or next week, early next week. And then the way we got served, I guess, or told about it, about the preliminary hearing, is that he left his calling card in the door. And so I called him, and he said, oh, by the way, he'll be in court on Friday.
And who is this?
Our caseworker from Child Protective Services.
Oh, okay. He didn't leave any messages or anything. He just left his card in the door.
Yep, he just stopped by the house unannounced.
I mean, that's kind of creepy when people just, I mean, I guess as Americans, we're kind of used to our open society and culture where Girl Scouts are knocking on the door. Remember the Fuller Brush Man? Of course, he doesn't exist anymore, I think, or whoever it is. But here's somebody representing a government agency. You would think that they would have enough sense to give you a little warning about them stopping in. It's kind of like a slight invasion of privacy. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, that's how it feels, definitely. In the meantime, while this case is still open, then they need to go check on the kids at school. You know, this kind of creeps me out, too, because Annie always stops by after the fact and said, just so you know, I went and saw the boys to make sure that they're okay. Well, of course they're okay, but that kind of bothers me. Without my knowing or my approval or whatnot, that they're going and having conversations with my kids or just watching them, that does bother me a little bit, yeah, definitely.
Especially with everything you hear about as far as people in positions of authority and the ugly, sick, nasty things they do. And not saying that that is going to happen or anything like that. It's just that, I don't know, it's just too much, it seems.
I agree.
He said, okay, we'll see you in court on Friday. Did you go to court without the attorney?
Of course, right when we got that note, then
and you found
know,
the
called
attorney.
Our attorney right away. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. When was the state? This was in September?
That was September. Yeah.
Okay.
The middle of September.
Or what happened in court?
At that time, they hadn't appointed Jacob a lawyer, and they're supposed to. The court is supposed to because for guardian ad litem.
Some Latin term, right?
Yep, yep, exactly. He's supposed to be working in the best interest of Jacob, whether it's our favor or the doctor's favor, but he's supposed to look at Jacob and try to figure out what's best for him.
Right.
They hadn't appointed one yet. So got adjourned until the following week, until they appointed one to him. We went back, and they asked us if we wanted a jury for our trial and whatnot. We decided we wanted a jury. The judge called the lawyers into his chambers along with the caseworker for CPS. They were in there for a little bit and came back out. And two crazy things happened. Basically, when we found out, too, that this was more about a parental rights than Jacob's health, because in the meantime, we had done the PET scan in between. So hoping for the following week when we went in there that we would have that clear PET scan as ammo.
Right.
And the other thing we found out is that a doctor from another children's hospital downstate had contacted the judge and tried to persuade him. So he had to recuse himself.
When you say downstate, just for the benefit of the listeners, you live in the
lower Michigan.
You're in the UP, the Upper Peninsula.
Yeah.
So another doctor who wasn't Jacob's doctor.
Never seen her. Never talked to her. She was at a different children's hospital, yes.
She called the judge to convince the judge to force Jacob to have chemotherapy and radiation.
Yes, and stated that she was Jacob's treating physician, one of his treating physicians.
The doctor lied?
Yeah, she was not one of his treating physicians. I don't know if because she had read over a story that she can call herself a treating physician, but that's what she called herself, yeah. And she'd never seen Jacob before.
Are they pressing charges against the doctor?
Not this time, no.
I'm sure that's grounds for at least an investigation, right?
And you would think that there would be some type of hand slapping for even calling the judge.
Right.
But no.
Hmm. Is this something you're going to look into as far as contacting the Michigan Medical Board?
We're definitely going to make a complaint about that.
And this happened in September?
Yes.
Okay, but you haven't made a complaint about it yet?
No.
Okay. That was the middle of September, and they said you have to come back because they didn't assign yet the guardian, right?
Yes.
Okay,
correct.
So then what happened?
After that, we had to wait then for another judge to be appointed, and that went on to the second judge. DHS wanted to meet with us beforehand, before they had a meeting with the judge one day. And usually when they have a meeting ahead of time or call for a meeting, it's maybe to settle, a settlement of some sort.
Right.
And so we went in there thinking that that's what it was going to be. And no, it was, we want to get Jacob into treatment. Are you in agreement with this? And we said, of course not. That's why we're in this. You know, we're not going to agree to this.
It's like, okay, yeah, we give up.
Oh, is this what this is really about? Oh, okay, I didn't get it. You know?
Right. You know, it's like when you're kids and you twist somebody's arm until they say give.
Exactly. And we kind of laughed, like, really? This is what you're wasting our time for? Wasting our money for our lawyer to be here? It was quite ridiculous. So then they went and met with a judge, the new judge, the second judge, and she revealed that the DHS administrator up here in Marquette had already talked to her about the case ahead of time. Well, that's a big no-no. So our lawyer disqualified her, so now we're on our third judge.
Oh, God. The first judge that got the call from this doctor, who hopefully will be brought up on charges or disciplined in some way, this particular judge, how did you learn about this, that this doctor that lied had contacted the judge?
When the lawyers were in his chambers, he brought it up.
The judge did. He did the right thing.
And, you know, he didn't tell us the first time we were there, the week before. I don't know if his guilty conscience got the best of him or what, but he didn't tell us the first time, but the second time it came out. So
It really does sound like some kind of medical conspiracy. I'm sorry.
It does.
Yeah. No, really.
Let's cut their mind.
You just have to look at the evidence here, and it seems like there is a clique of doctors who are in some kind of a star chamber that go behind closed doors, and they decide things without anybody seeing them, without any medical review, and that they somehow have some pull, or they think they have some pull over the judicial system. That's what it seems like. Before we go on, I wanted to ask you to elaborate. You said before you rushed the PET scan before the allotted 3 months of the insurance company gives you.
Not only was the PET scan clear, but an area still from the surgery had even improved since July.
The attorney introduced the oncologist's report as evidence, right?
Yes.
Okay. And so the judge read that?
Yes.
Okay, and then what happened? Did the judge decide that that's not relevant?
You know, I don't know. All I know is once that happened, he called a meeting in his office, and so we were left out in the courtroom. And then our lawyer and Jacob's guardian lead him came out and told us what this was really all about.
Your lawyer?
Yes.
And the guardian, Ed Leadham or Lightham, however you say it, they both came out and they said what about that report from the oncologist?
That it's really not about Jacob's health. It's about whether you have the right or not to make that decision for Jacob. The right to question doctors or the state. And they were kind of even laughing about it, like laughing in a way like they were shocked and shaking their heads. You know?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. Okay, so after that happened,
we've just kind of been in limbo now. You know what I mean? Just kind of in between things. And, you know, there's a date set for December 5th. And we're just letting our attorney, Paul Morin, and Michael Ferris do their jobs. And I continue to just do my research and make phone calls when the kids are at school and gather information. My husband says it was a hard battle with Jacob. But now that he's healthy, this is minor compared to all of that.
Right.
So this is a much easier battle to face. When you know your child's healthy,
right,
then we can do this other one. It's much easier.
You're just waiting for that December 5th date.
Correct.
In the
yep.
Marquette County Probate Court. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Your attorney says that this is a case unlike anything he's dealt with before, and it has the potential to set a legal precedent.
Yes. And I think that's what the state is trying to do.
Right.
It's when to make a precedent. Yeah. Definitely.
Right. Exactly. That's what I was alluding to before. As we said, instead of commiserating with you and having empathy and being human about it and hugging you and saying, thank goodness your child is well and best of luck and thanks for stopping by. No. Now, you have, of course, gone to the media. I don't think you've done an interview like this before, right? This is the first time you've done something like this.
Correct.
Extensive. And you have written to Michigan's governor.
Yeah.
Okay. And how long ago did you write to the governor?
At least a couple weeks.
Have you heard anything besides like
no.
an official? Okay. Have you gotten anything back?
I have heard back from our senators in Washington, D.C., Senator Carl Levin and Debbie Stabenow, and they both said that that was a state issue, so they couldn't help me with that.
Right.
I did get a hold of our state rep, and he said that's not his job to worry about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
And I did contact, though, our state congressman, Tom Casperson, and he has been wonderful. He's still working on it, I know. He went right into DHS and talked to him about it to try to find out what was going on, and I talked to him on a Friday, and he got back to Lansing on Sunday and went in there Monday to check up on it. So he is working on it, and I'm told that he is still working on it. And they just told him they're just following protocol is what their answer was to him.
Yeah, protocol. Did you actually send a letter to the governor, or did you do an email?
I did an email.
Okay.
I've done an email with the other ones, and I've heard back
right,
most
sure.
of them.
I heard from somebody about that as far as how politicians respond to email versus snail mail. And I guess the rule of thumb is that 100 emails are worth one actual mail. Yeah, they put a lot of stock in actual paper mail, snail mail.
That's good to know. Yeah. Funny thing is, though, that my sister's friend, I know, wrote to him, and he or somebody that worked for him actually got back to her, but he hasn't responded to me. And, you know, we have a website, hopeforjacob.org, that my cousin set up back in March for us. It's kind of like a blog. I put updates on there, and people can leave messages for Jacob, too, if they want to, or for us. And I've put links on there for our governor and our congressmen and state reps and whatnot on there. So if people want to easily just go on there and click the link, I'm trying to make it as easy as possible for them because I know it's sometimes easier said than done.
And that's hopeforjacob.org. I see at home, Jacob's story updates, give, leave a message for Jacob. Then you have subscribe, I guess, to get updates and donate. What is that for?
Originally it was set up and we don't expect anybody to donate. A lot of people helped out. At the beginning, my cousin set that up, not so much for medical expenses because insurance has helped out with that, but my husband traveling back and forth to see us, obviously that's a lot when you have to drive 8 hours.
Yeah.
It adds up. And also for us, when we could go home once a month, that's a lot in gas money and back and forth in my sister's house and the hospital, that was almost an hour drive each way. So it helped out a lot with that. And of course, cash for food and whatnot. That's originally what it was set up for. So we're certainly not expecting anybody to feel the need to donate now.
If they wanted to, then
they wanted to, yeah.
It could, yeah.
And in all honesty, at this point, it would probably be used for legal fees.
Yeah, that's why I was actually bringing that up, because if these geniuses pursue this case, then legal fees could rack up.
And it
right.
certainly is racking up already. So yeah. For all these nonsense little meetings and going through judges and whatnot, it certainly is racking up pretty fast. But you know, something I'm not going to worry about. Like I said before, we're just trusting God that he's going to take care of us, and he is. So we're going to just do what we need to do and follow through what we believe, and hopefully it'll all work out in the end. Doesn't do any good stressing about it, that's for sure. Especially for the kids. We're just trying to keep things as normal as possible for them and keep our family time as normal as possible so that there's no stress on them.
Like I said before, you're a horrible parent.
Well, thank you.
You should be ashamed of yourself for what you're doing. Well, that's great. I think the listeners have gotten a great sense of your whole story and the insanity of it. And I'm sure that they're very excited, as I am, that your son is doing as well as he is. And when people you don't know read stories about you, you have to know that inside, most of them are just feeling nothing but positive things.
Yeah, most of them are. We are getting mostly positive feedback. We are getting some negative. How dare you question the doctors or how dare you do this to your kid, he's going to die, you know, that kind of stuff. I try not to read much of that, but my sisters did start a Hope for Jacob page on Facebook that they keep updates on and information on too.
Is that up right now?
Yep.
Okay, so you go to Facebook.com, and then what's it called, Hope for Jacob?
Yep, just Hope for Jacob. There's a community board there. They just did it for support for me, and hopefully people will keep it that way. I know some people are making some rude comments, and they asked them to please stop. It was just as a support page for us,
right.
The family, but yeah.
You're going to put the updates here on the website, which is hopeforjacob.org, and also the updates will be on the Facebook page, right?
Yes.
Hopefully these guys will back off and leave you alone and let you live your life and do what you need to do, because this is obviously another example of government intruding where it shouldn't. And the way that they're intruding is very revealing about the whole matter. It seems like, again, some kind of conspiracy to make you bend to their will for some reason. I don't know what's motivating them. I'm sure you've thought about it. Maybe we don't want to know what's motivating them.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Maybe they should just go away and let you live your life.
And I guess it's, yeah, where does it stop? That's a big concern of mine. If they're sticking their nose in here, I think they're going too far. They're going too far and sticking their nose in where it doesn't belong. Parents need to start standing up. I've been guilty in the past of things that I don't agree with, but I don't voice my opinion to government or whoever else and write that little letter.
Right.
And I certainly will now. And I think that's important that people, we start learning to do that and stand up for ourselves. Just kind of complaining about it to our spouse or our friends or whatnot, our family, that's not going to do any good. We need to actually be proactive and get out there and write our letters and stand up for what we believe is right.
That's right. And this is one of these cases where you read about it and your first reaction is, and this is not just you or me, but pretty much the majority of people go, oh, no, there's got to be more to this story. It can't just be this, right?
And there's not.
But then when you get involved in something like this and then you become an activist for certain issues.
Exactly. I've talked to one dad out of Texas that has dealt with this in the past. Unfortunately, his son was forced into treatment and he did die. And they have a movie, and it's their story, and it's called Cut, Poison, Burn, and it's an amazing story, very heartbreaking, but his name is Jim Navarro, and I've talked with him, and he said, you can't help but be passionate about this afterwards. It's been 10 years since they've lost their son, unfortunately, but you become passionate about this type of thing, and it's something you can't get away from, even if you don't want to. You've lived it, and it's been such a part of your life that you do get involved, and you become very passionate about it and fight for it no matter what until the end, and I truly believe that. I mean, I don't think I'll be able to just put this aside. Once this is over with, I think it's something that I'm going to have to keep pursuing to do more research and help change laws.
You can never go back to the way you were before this happened.
No, definitely not.
And in some ways, it's a good thing they did it because you're here to help other people. I'm
exactly.
Sure.
And I hope to do that. I hope to continue to do that.
If any of the listeners want to help out, is there anything they could do?
Yeah, if you can contact the Michigan governor, the Michigan Senate, congressmen, state reps, whatnot, like to go to hopeforjacob.org. And I think it's also important to contact your local, no matter what state you're in, the president, whoever. I think this is a big deal, or even DHS, to let them know how you feel about it. But your rights as a parent is very important, and that you don't think they should be butting into something like that. So I think that's the biggest thing for us. Prayers are also appreciated.
Aaron Styler, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to the listeners, and I'll be following this.
Sure,
and I'll be following this very closely and looking for updates on the site, hopeforjacob.org, and of course on facebook.com/hopeforjacob, and hopefully we can talk after December 5th and we can give the listeners an update.
That would be great.
Thanks again, Aaron.
Thank you.